Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show on August 17th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Spotlight. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com. and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Oh, my God, Jackie. Bitcoin is over $4,400. I'm doing really well.
You know, one of these days we're going to have to sit down. You're going to have to explain that to me because I still don't understand it.
Well, I know. I mean, it's like tulips, Jackie. You know, once upon a time, tulips were really, really, really expensive, and now it's Bitcoin's turn.
Okay, all right. Well, as I said, one of these days we're going to have to, and you're going to have to explain it to me. But in the meantime, I have a couple announcements I want to make. Hey, did you go to the concert last weekend on the beach, Everclear?
No. No. No, I didn't go. Well, I wish I had, but Everclear is not my wife's cup of tea.
Yeah, they're not necessarily mine either, but I don't go for the music. I'm there for the social scene. You know, it was me and not, I don't know, 8,000 of my closest friend type of thing, you know. It was fun, though. It was a great night. Anyway, listen, a couple of announcements here. Tonight, the downtown Manhattan Beach Downtown Business Association professionals, they're having the Sunset Beach Party at the AVP Open Sky Deck tonight. And if you want to go, tickets are still available. I have a discount code, 10% discount code, Jackie_SBP2017, Sunset Beach Party SBP. So Jackie_SBP2017. That's 10% discount code for that. I also wanted to remind everybody tonight is the final El Segundo Art Walk of the season. Such a great event. You and I have been to it. I've been to it several times. Fabulous, fabulous event. This is the last one of the season, so if you haven't been there yet, you have to go. All right. Our good friend Gloria Placentia is hosting a dance music color. It's a group exhibition in Moshi Moshi Mambo in Hawthorne. You know that Gloria is on the Arts Commission for the city of Hawthorne, and she is bringing a ton of art into that city. And I just like saying Moshi Moshi Mambo. all right. So, and I have another discount code. This weekend, Shade Redondo Beach is hosting Bourbon Blues and Barbecue, or Bourbon Barbecue and Blues. Anyway, there's going to be blues, barbecue, and bourbon, all right? They gave me a discount code, all right? 25% off the ticket price. I believe it's $55. 25% discount code, BBQRB. All right? BBQRB. That's at Eventbrite. All right? So you can go to Eventbrite, Shade Hotel, Redondo Beach, Bourbon, Blues, and Barbecue, or Bourbon, Barbecue, and Blues. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's all three of those. And if you can't find it for whatever reason on Eventbrite, it's on my website. It's in today's weekend guide, all right? So the link for the Eventbrite to get tickets. So 25% off, that's a great deal. You know, all the barbecue and blues you can stand and some bourbon, and they're going to have other stuff if you're not a bourbon drinker. So anyway, yeah, and if you saw my weekend guide this morning, it's just chock full of events this weekend. There are like 8 events tonight.
Tonight is specifically packed for some reason. I mean,
well,
did I read in your weekend guide that there's going to be Macbeth at Terranea tonight?
Yes, yes. It's the final Shakespeare by the Sea production for South Bay. You know, they do these
Macbeth
productions all summer long all over Southern California. And I list
That's
the ones fave. In the South Bay. And well, I know where
tyrannical.
You're going to be tonight.
No, you know where I'm going to be? Tonight, I'm leaving the bubble, Jackie. I'm going to be hearing Gershwin Under the Stars. And I'm going
to
hear... Yeah, I'm sorry. Gershwin Under the Stars, the L.A. Phil... And Bramwell Tovey is the conductor, but this guy, the pianist, the featured soloist,
mm-hmm.
is a certified genius, Aaron Deal. He's the 2014 Monterey Jazz Festival commission artist. It's really going to be amazing.
Well, you have fun being behind the wheel in a car. I will be on my bicycle going to a couple events tonight. Anyway, those are the things. And at the end of the show, I'll mention them again. Discount codes. We love those discount codes, right?
We love discount codes.
All right. Okay. Well, then let's get to it.
Let's get to it. And you know, Jackie, our guest today, our new friend, as I hope I can say, our new friend that is our guest today, is bringing something to the South Bay that we really have only dreamt about. This is something that other areas of the city have an overabundance of, to the point where it's almost it's almost a... Oh, you know, where do you live? Oh, I live, you know, you just go to that studio, take a right, then at that other studio, take a left. And I mean, because they're everywhere. But here in the South Bay, they're not everywhere. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Mark Nicholas, owner of Manhattan Beach Studios. Mark has an incredibly diverse background. A graduate of Syracuse University, he practiced law for more than 2 decades, advising and consulting artists and businesses prior to becoming a full-time creative professional. He began his AV career as a sound technician for bands such as 10,000 Maniacs and Meatloaf. Now, with credits as a recording artist, producer, and engineer, Mark has been a voting member of the Grammys for almost 15 years. Now, as a photographer, Mark enjoys product and commercial photography and takes a special interest in technical, high-speed, 360, and splash photography. He is a frequent speaker, author, and educator, having taught hundreds of classes in photography, lighting, and technical imaging. His studio is only one of only a handful capable of photographing objects at less than a millionth of a second. Now, in addition to the photography and creative services, the studio plays a major role in assisting individuals and businesses with live and recorded streaming and broadcast. As the owner of Manhattan Beach Studios, Mark has developed a broad range of expertise. His studio is capable of handling a wide variety of styles, from portrait to artistic, product to ballistic. Photographic and video genres he works on daily include portrait, product, commercial, real estate, video production and editing, virtual tours, live production streaming, weddings, and more. Mark is the recipient of numerous awards and accolades for his artistic images and various photo series. Now, Joe, this morning, we're going to learn more about the services Manhattan Beach Studios offers and how Mark can showcase you and or your business in the best possible light. Welcome to the program, Mark. We're so glad you could join us this morning. Good morning.
Hi, Mark.
Good morning, guys.
Hey. So, yeah, it's just not usual and not normal. My good friend Bruce Gelb, who's no longer with us, who I miss terribly, was an attorney. And he was also a playwright, a musician, an actor, a voice artist. He was an artist trapped in the body of an attorney. Does that kind of describe you, Mark?
I think so. But I found an interesting experience. I still remember my first day of law school, sitting around a group of people who I thought were the most diverse and interesting people I had ever met. And I was struck with the thought that what got us into law school, what made us want to be lawyers, is sometimes what makes us the most bored. We come in with the ability to argue and to form coherent thoughts, to be able to reason, to have sort of an aggressive Renaissance personality. You know, the idea of being a litigator means if your client's a plumber, you have to learn plumbing. If your client's a massage therapist, you have to learn everything about massage therapy. You have to be everything. And then you end up in the profession where you review contract after contract, very often the same contract over and over again. And I always found that many of the lawyers that I worked with were incredible Renaissance people, and I just so happened to be a photographer.
And yet, photography is silent. So where does the Grammys come in?
You know, I guess it's funny. My other characteristic is jealousy.
Not too many people admit things like that, but that's okay.
Yeah, and I say that in the most positive way. I was lucky to be surrounded by phenomenally creative people growing up who became extraordinarily successful in whatever they did, whether it was in music or in film or in photography. And I just wanted to do what they did. And so from the very beginning, if somebody else was learning how to edit video, I bought a video editing system and started doing it. My real foray into photography came when I was traveling around the world, and there was another person there that was a photographer, and I felt left out, and I wanted to be a part of that. And so, you know, I did the best I could while I was there with while I didn't have access to great equipment or anything, but I did the very best I could. And the second I returned to the States, I had made my investment in camera gear. And so I think I tended to just be around the right people who got me inspired. And I started in music because people on my hall in college were engineers and producers, and then I started in photography by being around other photographers. So I think I just wanted to be like them. And then once I was there, I was able to follow my own path.
Right. Do you play an instrument?
I do. I play a few of them. I play guitar and piano and some hand drums, a little harmonica, poorly. My wife gets mad at me every time I play the harmonica.
Hey, at least it's not a fact.
Yeah, I guess it could be worse.
Yeah, you can always pull that out. Hey. You know, it's not a sax. It could be a sax. I'll tell you, Jackie knows, his name is Nick. I can't remember his last name. the world's most prolific, God, Jackie, help me, squeeze
accordion,
box player.
Accordion.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember his last name, Jackie. Can you? It's
begins
he's with phenomenal.
An A.
I'm going to find. Yeah.
Okay.
But
all right.
It was a revelation.
I'm still not.
What?
For you, I remember we went to see him, that show. No, the show. But I just wanted to clarify something with Mark. So, Mark, you were a practicing attorney, and it was during that time that you were exposed to photography, and so were you doing that throughout your law career?
I was. Yeah, I actually started before law school. So my beginning in when I was working with music and with the bands and recording my own music, that was happening while I was in college, soon after college, and has never stopped.
Okay. All right.
The photography really started about 5 or 6 years into my law practice. I had been with a law firm, one of those very aggressive, I don't want to say aggressive. They were big, highly accomplished. But we were just churning out the hours. And while I was, at some point there, I made the decision that the big law firm life was probably not for me. And I ended up going into corporate America. But during that transition is when I took my first year off. And it was at that point when I had the opportunity to travel the world, to start my writing career, write my first book, things like that. And that was really the jumping off point. And then I ended up practicing for another 15 years and, you know, building a studio, you know, working with clients and building very specific niche areas of specialty. And then about 5 years ago, I became a full-time creative professional.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I began talking about other areas of this beautiful Southern California that we live in, where there's a studio to the left of you, there's a studio to the right of you, there's a studio in front of you, down the street. There's some places in the city where there's studios everywhere. Literally, like two or three per block. That's because people want to be in Hollywood. People want that address. They want that name. Oh, I'm on the West Side. I'm on Hollywood. I'm in the Fairfax District or whatever. But it's not common down here in the South Bay. Do you find that an issue? Tell me about your vision for your studio, Manhattan Beach Studios.
Yeah, well, it's. I guess the first thing is if you count the number of studios, clearly you have a tremendous amount of creativity, and opportunity driving what's happening up north. I don't think I ever thought though that I was trying to compete with them. So even if I were there, I'd still want to be different. My vision is, I think I have to go all the way back again into the beginning when I started practicing law. I had already become a creative professional, and I was already associating with creative professionals. And I took a tremendous amount of pride in working with them. And so when I was in Philadelphia, at the beginning of my career, and then New York, and soon after California, I was always spending a great deal of time volunteering for Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts, working with a wide variety of artists. I love the creative energy, and I love the things people create. And I always felt restricted when I was trying to do it out of my own garage. So in large part, the studio was born to create an atmosphere where people who are creative could be creative. So it was never intended to become that force that tried to go head-to-head against some of these other incredible facilities. it just so happened that we were able to provide a variety, with my expertise and the equipment I was able to garner, the very specialized equipment I was able to garner, we were able to earn sort of a spot that we could call our own. And I can talk a little bit about how I got into that, but ultimately that's what happened. We became specialized, built a name for ourselves in the areas that we could perform, like the high speed, the deep space, the low light,
speaking,
that kind of thing.
Those kinds of things where it requires literally almost like scientific equipment, because a millionth of a second, that's into the realm of, you know, let's step into the lab.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about that a little.
I guess this is what happens when somebody who's enthusiastic about something has sufficient capital to buy the right toys. This is the background for my science. I decided to take my wife to be to Alaska to take pictures of the aurora, something I'd always wanted to do. And I took a bunch of really nice pictures. I was very proud of it. And I got home, and I'm looking at the pictures, and there's this smudge in all of them. But it wasn't like dirt. It just kept moving around. If I aimed the camera this way, the smudge moved to the left, and the other way, the smudge moved to the right. And I was very upset. I posted this onto the internet, and I said, does anybody know what's causing this problem with my camera? And the response was, and this is a super wide-angle lens. This is not a telescope. And the response was, oh, that's not a problem with your camera. That's the Andromeda Galaxy. And I never thought that something like that could be accessible to me. Needless to say, at first opportunity, I had bought a telescope, and I said, I get it. I can shoot that. Now I want to really shoot it. And so the next thing you know, I'm starting my deep space photography work, and I'm shooting nebulas and galaxies and the sun and the moon and everything else. I think a lot of this is about just being exposed to the fact that it can be done, and then I end up becoming curious and seeing how far I can take it.
Now, Mark, you're going to make me cry. I went to school in Oregon State University, OSU. We are the Beavers. We're not the Ducks like OU. We have the cleanest Beavers in Oregon. But I'm giving you the whole nine yards. Going to Oregon State Jackie, I don't want to even go there. But going to Oregon State from Chicago, the city of Chicago, was an absolute mind-blowing experience. You could go to the top of Mary's Peak, our local little hill. It's not really a mountain. It's more like a hill. And you could see the night sky. You could see the colors of the universe. Yellows, oranges, reds, blues. If you look at the night sky and you're not in the middle of a megalopolis like Los Angeles, you see color. And it blew my mind.
Yeah. It's true. It really is. It's to bring that sort of back to where we started, the camera is our tool to see that, is one of the tools to see that color. We can reach in and grab it and keep it. I agree with you. I go to Death Valley still once or twice a year, and I just sit back and stare. We don't have many places like that here in Southern California. And when we want to get to a place that's 3 hours away, it can take us 6 hours to get there. And that's a disincentive. it makes it hard to go and see those wonders of the world. You know, the camera has always been able to see the invisible, whether it's high speed, whether it's long exposure. It can change time. It can make short things long and long things short. And I mean, it's a wonderful tool in that sense.
Now you're talking like a Time Lord. You say...
I speak quite a bit to elementary schools. I actually go to elementary schools and talk, and I say the only real magicians in the world are photographers, because we are the only people on the planet who can actually change time. We can make a lot of time seem like a little. We can preserve time. Nobody else in the world can preserve time. We can stop a child and hold them in their place from the moment they're 6 months old, and we can keep them young forever with the use of cameras and photographs. And so I really do. Time Lord works for me.
He's talking like a Time Lord when you say it's 3 hours away, but it takes us 6 hours to get there.
Well, that's just a frustrated commuter.
No, that's fantastic. Well, all of this brings us to, and we've been talking about the kinds of things that people need to do to promote their business, to highlight their products and services. Like, we almost got to my ultimate question about time and millionths of a second was to freeze liquids falling.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been fascinating for me. Talk a little bit about that kind of, you know, product photography is among the most lucrative and expensive photography on the planet. People think it's like, you know, models, you know, really skinny models, but it's not. Expensive photography is like cheeseburgers.
Yes. Yeah. I will agonize over the way a bottle is lit for hours. the bottle never gets tired. So nobody needs to take a break. There's no need for catering or anything like that. There's just an image that
it
needs to be captured.
It doesn't belong to a union, is what you're saying.
It does not belong to a union. There's nobody to complain except for me, you know, and I'm not complaining. I agree with you. The product photography can be extraordinarily complicated. It, you know, human skin doesn't generally reflect, and bottles do, and so dealing with reflections and dealing with, you know, bright spots or bringing out color or things like that. I mean, that's a big deal for us. And one of the other great things about it is I more often than not have the opportunity to work by myself. And so it becomes a Zen-like experience of how do I bring something to life. The splashing is an area of product photography I particularly love. And it started out as simple splashing, and now, I mean, like I said, we can do pretty extraordinary things. And that again, I share your feeling. I mean, I think water, when it splashes naturally, is invisible. It happens so quickly. But when you can stop it in time, when you can look at it in one spot, it's a sculpture. And the way we can use light in order to freeze that motion is an extraordinary tool. Yeah.
Right. I think
Okay, Time Lords. Okay, what this all comes down to is that what?
No, go.
Okay, I'm just saying, Time Lords. What this all comes down to basically is that Mark's studio, located here in the South Bay, can handle all of your photography video needs. If you have a product you want to sell and you need to make it look great, Mark can do that. That's what this all comes down to. Right?
That's what it comes down to. So, to take the purely creative hat and artistic and, you know, an enthusiastic hat off and really get down to what we're doing. Yeah, my business experience, knowing what businesses need, having the tools to give the businesses the opportunity to promote themselves. I mean, that's obviously why we think we have a great opportunity, a great edge. So yeah, we're thrilled with whether it's the live streaming, which is something we're doing now on a nearly daily basis, where we're giving companies the platform and individuals platform to reach out into the world in a way they've never even had an opportunity before. Or work with them in terms of creating the right presentation, the brochures, interactive. Companies will come to us and ask that they want to rotate their product. And one of the things I did, because I'm a Renaissance person, we invented our own system for how we rotate and take very precise images of objects. So yeah, so we're on a daily basis. We're out there trying to figure out how to help companies get an edge. For sure.
Okay, now, Mark.
All right.
That begs the question, how do you properly rotate an object?
Well, you got to spin it. That's the key to rotation.
Oh.
I think, believe it or not, is where you start. I don't necessarily, each product is different. So sometimes I invented a different kind of a turntable that allows objects to rotate and you can in very precise increments and you can make good pictures. But sometimes an object is too big and we'll rotate the camera around an object, and sometimes we'll rotate the camera and the object so it rotates in the real world. You can kind of look around in a circle and at the object. And so it gets a little bit artistic. The great thing is that the internet has given us tools, or the web world has given us amazing tools for how you show that. In some cases, you can make completely interactive experiences for people so that they can look around almost as if they were standing there, or they can rotate an object and see it from all sides. It's the creative part of the job.
Have you ever participated in, or have you seen the rigs that are required to do those 360? I've always been fascinated by those 360 degree views of automobiles.
Yes.
What does that rig look like?
It's a big record player. When you're going to look around something, you can either rotate the object, in which case they do have these big turntables. In some cases, you can do that by marking spots on the floor if you don't have the ability to have a massive $100,000 turntable. You can draw lines out and mark the floor and move the camera in proper increments. There are a lot of ways to get to the goal. One of the things that we do sometimes is with our system, we can actually do that automatically. So we can run the camera out and have the camera move naturally in various increments. And we can actually hold the background automatically opposite from that, so that it always looks as if the object is spinning, but in fact, the camera is rotating around it. So, a lot of fun ways of achieving the goal, but mostly what you're really doing is you're connecting with the audience, and you're reaching out to the people who want to learn about it, want to see it, want to experience it, and you're giving them that opportunity.
I'm not sure how we can top the first half of this interview, because, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking with a Time Lord, and Mark Nicholas, Time Lord, photographer, Manhattan Beach Studios. We're going to be talking more with Mark, and we'd love for you guys, if you're listening live, to call in and ask questions. That would be fantastic to memorialize this show, which is one of my favorites already. I think this is worthy of listening to again and again, because there's some really important stuff here. If you would like to call in, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's area code 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And we're back with Mark Nicholas of Manhattan Beach Studios.
Okay, so I have a question,
Mark,
Joe.
Yes, Jackie.
Okay, so Mark, Joe and I have been doing this show for over 6 years now. And it's, you know, South Bay centric. You know, we talk to all these people, live, work, play in the South Bay. And most of them, many of them, probably most of them, have a common denominator. They, someplace, and they were exposed to the South Bay through a friend, or they came down here for an event, or they went to the beach or something. And they loved it so much, they relocated here. And eventually, they decided they never wanted to leave the bubble. So they left their jobs in downtown LA or the West Side or Pasadena, Orange County, and they either went on their own and opened their own office or shop here, or they changed their, you know, they made a career change. They did something different so that they could live and work here in the South Bay without ever having to get on a freeway to go to work. Were you here? Were you South Bay based originally, and that's why you decided to open your studio here? Are you like the rest of us?
No, I mean those are good stories. I ended up here more, you know, by accident, I guess. I toward the conclusion of my time on the East Coast. I was with big corporate, working in their legal departments, and then took a bit of time off. Had sort of had enough of that world, and again, I wrote another book, and I, you know, did my wandering thing, and then when I decided to go back to work, I contacted a recruiter, and that afternoon, had a call with a company here in the South Bay. So I would say about a month later, I had been relocated here. And, you know, I don't know if I would have chosen it as my spot, but I ended up here and loved it. So obviously that's, you know, I've decided not to leave. I'm married. I've got my daughter, and we're very happy here. We live in Redondo Beach. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And aren't we all lucky because of that we have a great facility?
We're really excited. It's not just the creative. I'm so excited to bring things like our house concert thing that we do. We're hosting artists once a month, and great artists. I handpick them, and so you know those are free events. Those are just sort of I call them in-house concerts because they're like house concerts. If I had room in my house, they'd be in my house. There are so many things we want to offer back. We've got a show tonight, by the way. A guy named Lipbone Redding is playing, who's like a walking orchestra. He's an incredible blues guitar player. And so, yeah, this didn't start out as something about making money. It started out about having an incredible creative experience, working with artists, giving people a place to go, resources they need to support the community. We're very proud to be here.
Wow.
I'm very happy you're here. we are excited about this. Both Jackie and I are very excited about the potential for our new entree into video. We've been talking about it literally for 6 years. I think, Jackie, we talked about it the first day we met, and we decided to stick with audio and focus on that. And we have for the last 6 years, but video is the future, the next step, and it can be extremely powerful. So we're looking forward to what the future holds.
Well, yes, you have been saying that. You've been saying that from day one. That video, you know, YouTube, you know, pretty much changed the world. You know, and because in the past, video was. It was expensive. Studio time was expensive. Equipment was expensive. It was a whole production to do a video, whether you're doing a live streaming or you want to do like a commercial for cable or, you know, any of these other services that Mark's studio offers. It was out of reach for the regular person, you know, unless you were in that industry or something. It was horribly difficult and horribly expensive to accomplish something like that. But with all of the changes, as Mark was saying, you know, the World Wide Web and the technology available to regular people these days, it can be done,
right.
And it's affordable. And that's where Mark comes in.
Yeah. Well, I think there's the opportunity to go into larger studios and do full productions, and obviously you can set up a webcam and do it yourself. I think what was missing was the thing that most of the businesses and individuals needed, which was some kind of an affordable solution. And affordable solutions mm-hmm. are hard to come by given the cost of real estate here. That mm-hmm. if you wanted to rent a 10,000 square foot facility and have enough room, you had to have clients that could afford to help you pay your rent, and that's expensive. I think that the way we do it, we're able to utilize a smaller space. I mean, we still have plenty of room, but we're able to provide a similar level of production quality. Our green screen keyer is, I mean, I think it rivals studios that are million-dollar facilities. We do the live graphics, and we do all of that, and we're able to do it in a very efficient, and I say efficient not just in terms of time, but also in terms of space. And that's such a big deal. It gives that capability to people who wouldn't, people and companies that wouldn't have had it before. So yeah, we're really happy. I think it's a huge asset for folks.
So Mark, give me a sense of that metric that you will hear in many different realms and contexts. The metric is our studio in Manhattan Beach, Manhattan Beach Studios, has the ability to produce movies, commercials, television quality of the highest grade of movies of 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the best movies, the best commercials of 10 years ago we can produce. Give me that metric.
Oh my. I think that we rival facilities that are producing top web content right now. we're not a movie facility. Movies, they have a whole separate set of requirements, but the ability to sit at a desk or talk and have the audio be great, have the backgrounds be beautiful, and if you're with green screen, have it be perfect. That's what we do. So when I go out and I look at some of the top shows that are being produced for YouTube or being produced on DVD, and you're listening to people talk and educate, I mean, that's what we're doing. We're using the same cameras and the same, a lot of the same stuff. And then on top of that, mm-hmm. we've made some big investments into our ability to do live titling and mixed media so that you've got an intro and lower thirds and pictures and and all of that, and we can handle that live, and it looks great. It looks as good as if, in some case, I like to think it's as good as if you were on CNN a lot of the time. We can handle live callers.
One aside, when you mention, our equipment is like rivals the best equipment that some of the top YouTube channels offer, people might, people who are not clued in might think, oh yeah, well, YouTube, those are kids. The top YouTube earners, ladies and germs, make over $15 million a year.
Yeah.
Everyone, get your metrics right. It's not about broadcast television anymore. The top YouTube earners make over $15 million a year.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I'll go even beyond that. It is amazing. But one of the reasons for that is that the content is amazing. And it is highly tailored to the audience. For instance, my daughter is watching how to make slime videos all the time. I don't think there's a how to make slime video she has not seen on YouTube. Those videos are getting 4 million, 5 million hits, and it's not an accident. They're highly entertaining. And content like that has never been produced for kids and in that kind of a targeted way. But
yeah.
If we were to bring this into the way businesses work, there are so many revenue streams when you start to tap into business. Specialty shows that have pay-per-view, we just did one where it was $75 per viewer. And I believe that the total amount of revenue that just came in from just the pay-per-views was over $10,000. In addition to that, there's products being promoted, products being sold, brands being built. There's interaction. There's all kinds of stuff happening in addition to just that one component. And then you've got sponsors, and you've got sponsors meaning direct sponsors, advertisers submitting additional content. You've got a lot of revenue streams available. So businesses are picking and choosing. They're saying, well, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I'm producing, let's say, something to help promote my brand. Somebody else is trying to sell a product. Somebody else is. So you're able to pick and choose, really, how you want to recover the value of your investment. And that's why we plan. That's why we think about this in advance, and we come up with the right strategy, and we build the right event or show or series, and try to achieve the goals.
So what you're saying, Mark, Jackie.
The point I wanted to make is that this is not out of reach for a small business. You know, as a matter of fact, Mark, I was in your studio one afternoon. You had a local guy come in. He had created it was some sort of a dog jacket or something. And he came in with this product. Local guy. He created something. He wanted to get it out there in the best possible, looking the best it can. And he came to you, and he can afford it. We're not talking, you know, big companies. We're talking small companies, entrepreneurs, and it's affordable. That's the to me the most exciting thing. It's not out of reach for any small business owner.
Yeah, it's fascinating what's happened in the world. The ability to become an author you can get to printers and print your books. It used to be that you needed to run a book run of 10,000 books just in order to be able to have one. So it was out of reach. Mm. Now it's in reach. I think a lot of what we do, taking pictures was really never out of reach, but our ability when that gentleman came in to promote his product, which he is a tremendous product. It's Molasser Apparel. I'm sure he'd be thrilled if I said the name. He's created a high-end dog jacket. It's gorgeous. When he comes to a place like ours, not only is the photography within reach, but we have a high-speed camera that shoots 20,000 frames per second. So we created this beautiful water falling on the jacket that he can now use as both web content and in his videos. I mean, it's staggering how gorgeous it is when you slow down time. We also rotated his jacket so people on the internet can look at all aspects. We provide things. We're proud that we can provide things that the businesses need so that he can reach out into his audience and tell them about all of the wonderful features that he's spent his heart and soul creating.
Quality. Yeah.
Every business needs your services, Mark. Every business.
Well, thank you for saying that. I agree. I think that this is an area that is underestimated in terms of power. Video, for one, people watch it. It keeps them on their websites. It helps them get to know the individuals involved. It builds the brand.
Right.
Live video includes the interaction. I'm truly passionate. The reason why I like the product rotation work is because it allows people to interact with the site. They get to know the product. It's not some picture that's just scrolling past. It's alive, and they get to sense it, feel it, almost touch it in a sense. Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask the question that I've been wanting to ask. Does your YouTube channel have your best work all collected in one place?
No. Mine, you know, the story about the shoemaker.
The cobbler's children
exactly.
have no shoes.
We have to ask, and we ask ourselves every day, how are we branding our studio? What are we trying to sell? And if it was just my own photography, I think it would be a mistake. We're not a photography store that you walk in, that, like you see on the side of a, you know, in the mall or on the street corner. And so we wanted to create an atmosphere that caters to creative professionals in which we also work. And so the studio's page is really trying to promote the studio. When we do construction or make an investment, we want to highlight that stuff. My work is highlighted more on my personal photography page, which is marknicholasphotography.com. And then and we always try to figure out how to properly brand. But as a photographer, I've achieved a level of work so that you can go to the site, you can see it, and you know what kind of quality you're getting. And so, yeah, I spend more time worrying about other people's content than I do my own.
You know, speaking of photography, Mark, you had mentioned before we went on the air that you're going to be doing photographs or live streaming or something from the eclipse. Can you tell us about that?
Well, first, to your listeners, and I mean, if you don't know about the eclipse, it's worth learning about. I mean, it's the biggest thing I think photographically that's maybe ever happened in the United States. So my family, we're going to go. We're going to St. Joseph, Missouri, and it'll be my the Ground Zero is a 70-mile strip that goes from Oregon to South Carolina. So people are congregating everywhere along that path, and within that path, you'll be in totality, which means it will go dark. Outside of that, it won't go dark. It'll get progressively lighter as you go farther away. I think LA is 70% eclipsed, so it'll stay pretty bright.
Right.
But you can wear your glasses, your solar glasses, and check it out. As far as my shooting, this will be my second eclipse. My second solar, and I've never been in a complete totality. I've never been in a place of complete darkness, and I am so excited. So I've basically rented out. You can't get long lenses or anything right now. Every piece of camera gear is being used. So we've rented out every single thing we're not using. I'm helping on an IMAX film. Again, we're focusing on the high speed. The International Space Station is going to cross in one spot for 0.7 seconds.
Oh my
God! I've been working with an IMAX crew and getting them outfitted, and that's super exciting. And then, you know, as far as it goes, I mean, we're going to head out. We're going to record. We'll be shooting with multiple cameras, and we'll, you know. We're really. I don't think I've been as excited about an event, in forever maybe. Yeah, this is really good. And, weather permitting.
Wow.
I'm a nature guy, so you know, Mother Nature may have some different ideas if it decides to cloud up. But I couldn't possibly be more excited. It's only like 14-15 mile drive if you're not doing anything.
Right, but the facts are interesting. There are between 2 and 5 solar eclipses every year, but I don't know when is the last time one happened in the United States.
I think was an annular eclipse. I was there to shoot it. It was sometime around, forgive me, it was around 2008. I could be off, and it was an annular eclipse. And what that
right.
means is that
right.
you know, the sun gets closer and farther away. When the sun is close, it looks bigger. It covers more of the sun. When the sun's farther away, it covers less. The
right.
the last eclipse that I was at, the sun was pretty far away, or the, excuse me, the moon was pretty far away, and so it didn't cover the full sun. So there was a ring, a big ring, around it.
Yeah, I'm at a website studying it, and March 1979 was the last time there was a total solar eclipse visible from anywhere on mainland U.S.
Yeah.
The next one will be in April of 2024, so that's not that far away. But it will not be visible from nearly as many U.S. locations. This is like a 70-mile strip right across the heartland of America. It's
yeah.
going to drive
this is a
people
big deal.
Insane. This is huge. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, this is a big deal. There's not a hotel anywhere, even outside of that 70-mile strip, all the way across the United States that's not at full occupancy at this point.
Right.
So, but again, you can see it from any parking lot. You don't need to. It doesn't need to be an extraordinary big deal. It is something where, if you can get underneath that 70-mile strip, you will see it from
right.
from Walmart parking
right.
lot, from McDonald's, from everywhere. It's
what,
if you go back through history,
Go ahead.
What's that, Jeff? I was going to say,
well,
if you
I'm
go
sorry,
back through history, they've had a huge impact in our social life. They've changed. They've started wars. It's the key to some of the greatest discoveries in our history. It proved a handful of Einstein's theories, and so these are big deals.
You're reading my mind in the aspect of there are going to be people that are going to go to work in the fields. This thing is going to happen, and they're going to think it's the second coming, and they're just going to like go out of their minds when this happens because they aren't clued in. I mean, how many people don't even listen to the news? They don't know what's happening, what's coming. It's going to drive them insane.
Yeah. Well, and think about what happened in centuries ago where nobody knew it was coming.
Right.
Yeah, we're way advanced. I think hopefully if that person is freaking out, somebody next to them has seen the news and can clue them in.
I can't
oh,
wait.
Oh, my goodness.
There's
okay,
so
okay.
many great stories. What?
I know,
what?
And
Am I going
I can't
crazy?
Wait to see the pictures. No, Time Lords. This is the new title of the show, Time Lords. Anyway,
Time
listen, we will have to start wrapping it up here. Mark,
yeah.
give
yeah.
us contact information, give us web addresses, give us phone numbers. If anybody is interested in using your services, Manhattan Beach Studios, we want to let them know how to get in touch with you. So please give us all the contact info.
Absolutely. So we're Manhattan Beach Studios, or manhattanbeachstudios.net, and and you can contact us directly through the site. The phone number is 310-800-1999. And if you'd like to see any of my work, that's at marknicholasphotography.com. I think that's it. If you're not doing anything tonight, you've got Lip Bone Redding playing. Free show. Take donations. It only goes to the artist. And, we'd love being a part of the creative space down here in the South Bay. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to go to that, but as I said, I already have – I actually have – there are several events I want to go to, but I can only go to two of them tonight. So, not going to make it – you know something? I missed Shakespeare in by the Sea this season. I've just been so busy, and I missed it, and I'm very upset about that. But –
No, Jackie,
anyway,
I have two program notes that I have
okay.
to make. One is the greatest accordionist that I've ever been in the presence of is a guy named Nick Ariando. NickAriando.com. That's NickAriando. NickAriando.com, the greatest accordionist on the planet. And Jackie, what a great show.
Yes, yes. I also wanted to mention another couple of things. Tomorrow on the show, remember a couple of weeks ago we were supposed to have Chef Greg Hosinski on, and
yeah.
at the last minute he canceled because there was a fire at the Strand House. Which is
yeah.
where he works. And so he's been very busy dealing with that. So I believe we're going to have him on tomorrow. That is the plan at this point. So we can get an update
right.
on what's going on there. And again, I wanted to mention a couple of discount codes Bourbon, Barbecue, and Blues at Shade Redondo Beach this weekend. Eventbrite, 25% discount. Using discount code BBQRB, all right? And for tonight, the Sunset Beach Party on the AVP Open Sky Deck, 10% discount if you go and buy your tickets. The discount code is Jackie_SBP2017, all right?
All right.
Hope to see everybody
well,
out there.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Mark, Nicholas, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
Well, it was a great show. We covered a lot of topics in this time, but of course we have all the time in the universe, as Time Lords do. And Jackie, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Always. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, and ready for the eclipse. It's going to be big. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.